Can we open the Word of God this morning afresh in the book of Genesis and in the chapter number 45? Could I mention on Wednesday night there's a band parade in Tobermore and they'll be open there at 7:30. So do please remember that as well. And if you're able to get along there, you certainly your presence will be deeply appreciated. That is on Wednesday evening in Tobermore for the open air at that band parade. We're turning to the Word of God in the book of Genesis, the chapter 45, and we're continuing our reading there, verse number 16. Our brother, Mr. McKee, concluded at verse 15, and we're opening there the reading at verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lead your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, This do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Would you bow our heads for a wee word of prayer? Let's pray together. Our gracious, eternal God and heavenly Father, humbly and reverently we bow before thee. And we ask of thee that thou will bless us as we meditate and study thy precious and thy holy word. We thank thee that thou hast promised it is the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And I pray that thou will help us, our God, to see the light of Christ as we open the scriptures of holy truth. We know that he is the light of the world. And we thank thee that those that walk in Christ will not walk in darkness, but in the light of life. Father in heaven, I pray that thou will bless me this morning. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth and bring the word that thou hast, Lord, given to me. For this congregation today, bless us and do us good. And Lord, make us a blessing. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The last Lord's Day morning that we were looking at this 45th chapter of the book of Joseph, or book of Genesis, we were reminded how that Joseph revealed himself unto his brethren. And you know, in revealing himself before his brothers, you'll notice something that Joseph did before he made that revelation. The Word of God says in verse number 1, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him. And Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And in the revelation of Joseph there, we find that everyone else was put out. Every other person was put away, for Joseph wanted to speak to his brethren alone and reveal himself to
to his brethren. And as I was reading that passage of Word of God in preparation for this, the Lord's Day, you know, when God reveals himself to us, friend, for God to do that, all other persons and all other obstacles have got to be removed. If you want to meet with the Lord and you want the Lord to meet with you, friend, then you've got to come and draw aside before him and let the Lord just remove everything else away. Take everything else out of your mind. And as you come to God's word and you're coming to fellowship with the Lord and coming to pray before God, you say, Lord, just remove all the things that would be a hindrance to me and all the things that would try to occupy my mind. And, oh God, that I might, Lord, just come before thee. And you need to get before God alone. What a revelation that day. I am Joseph. What a revelation. What a moment when God appeared to Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 12. What a moment when God appeared unto Jacob there, and Jacob was wrestling with the Lord. What a moment when God appeared to and revealed himself unto Moses at the burning bush. What a moment when God revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was, on that Damascus road. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. In this moment of revelation, his brethren would never forget. I was thinking of that wee word of a hymn. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. And friends, you know, I can look back on the 4th of June, 1957. I remember kneeling at a little farm outside Dungannon. And there I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that night I was saved. And the Lord revealed himself to me as my Savior. What can you look back to that moment? Wonder, is there a moment in your life when you can say, that was the night I was gloriously and wonderfully saved. That was the night the Lord revealed himself unto me. Not only that I needed him as my Savior, but that night I received him as my Savior. And he said, I'm Joseph. And you know, friend, one moment those brethren were looking into what they believed was the eyes of the Prime Minister of Egypt. And the next moment, they're looking into the face of their brother. What a difference. One moment they're looking into the eyes of someone that they would rightfully be afraid of, who was a mighty governor there, the mighty Prime Minister of Egypt under Pharaoh. And they were begging for bread. In actual fact, at that moment, they were begging for their life. And then the next moment, realized, this is not the governor. This is my brother. This is my brother. What a revelation. But friend, notice in verse number 3 how they reacted. It says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They couldn't answer. They were speechless. They were absolutely helpless. They were fearful at that moment. Because, my friend, it was one thing to stand even in the presence of a mighty governor and plead for their life. But here they were standing in the presence of the brother that they had consigned to death and to bondage. And it says they could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. When I read that also, friend, I think of another day. I think of a day when Revelation chapter 20, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And friend, let me tell you, on that day when man stands before God in his sin, and the dear sinner looks into the eyes of a righteous and a holy Lord whom they rejected, and the books are opened, it says, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. But the sinner can't flee.
They will cry to the rocks and to the mountains, but there are none there. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.
Well, there's no place to hide. And if you're not saved this morning, let me tell you, this is you we're talking about. This is the day when you stand before God, sinner. This is the day you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he reveals himself to you and says, I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you rejected all these years. I'm the one that you sat in Macrofelt and you heard the word of God preached about me, but you went out of the meeting Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and month after month, and year after year, and you lived and you died, but you wouldn't come to me. That's the one I am. And friend, as those brothers looked into the face of their brother Joseph, whom they had sold into bondage, so the sinner will look into the face of Jesus. And they reject it. And it says, they couldn't answer it. If you're an unsaved person, I want you to listen to this morning. When you stand before the Lord, you have nothing to say why you didn't come. You'll have no answer. You'll have no answer. Why you rejected Christ? Because there will be no answer why you rejected Christ. Because there is no reason for a man to reject the blessed Son of God and continue in his sin and go on his way to hell. And it says this, his brethren couldn't answer him. They were troubled at his presence. Dear friends, listen, I'm talking about reality. You are going to stand in the presence of the living Lord. You are going to stand before him and the books of God are open, friend, on that day. And the life story that you have lived will be read. But there's no day of your conversion. There is no moment of your salvation. And it says his brethren could not answer, but they were troubled at his presence. And friend, that'll be you. But there's a difference in your story. Because at that revelation of Joseph that day, their troubles were ended. On the day when God reveals his son to you on the throne, sinner, your troubles are only beginning. What a difference. Tell me, does that trouble you? I tell you this morning, it troubles me for you. It breaks my heart for you. Does it not break yours? Not a word to answer. And you stand before him, and the books are opened. What then? What a revelation. Now notice what it says in verse number 4. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. Now I'll tell you this. That means, and that says to me, that whenever Joseph revealed himself, his brothers drew back. They were so afraid. They were so terrified that they were standing in the presence of the one that they had sold, that they hastened away from him. And so what Joseph, as they withdraw from him, Joseph in love and Joseph in grace says to his brethren, come near to me. Beckons them to come. Notice there's not a word here. There's not a word of hostility here. There's not a word of revenge here. But I'll tell you what there is. There's a manifestation of grace. You say, did Joseph really mean this, friend? Did Joseph really, was his heart so broken for his brothers? Did he so much love his brothers? My, surely this was a moment for Joseph to say, you remember what you did to me? You remember the hurt that you caused to me? You remember the bondage that you sent me into? Was not his moment. My, there are many even of God's people, and they're waiting for their moment when they get back and somebody has done them hurt. And I'll get my moment. I'll tell you, this was Joseph's big moment. But not one word of revenge. But he spake kindly unto them and he said, come near to me, I pray you. And let me show how much he meant it, friend. Because you go down to verse number 14, it says, and he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. But mark verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. He kissed them all. Oh, he didn't leave them out. He didn't say, listen, Reuben, no, I don't want you. I'll kiss Benjamin, but I'm not going to kiss you, Judah. I'm not going to kiss you, Simeon. I'm not going to love you because of what you did to me. Are you holding something against a brother or sister today? Let me tell you, Joseph had every reason to hold a lot. But it said he kissed all his brethren. Let me tell you, friend, Joseph had the power that day to lock them all up. Joseph had the power that day to put them all to death. But you know what triumphed in Joseph's life? The grace of God. Because the grace of forgiveness was manifested. The grace of forgiveness. And once again, what I find here is, I take note of the attitude of Joseph under a dark trial. It was that good attitude. Now tell me, what was the secret of Joseph's attitude? Why did Joseph react in the way he did? Why did he tell his brethren, come near to me? Why did he reach out to his brethren? And when the brethren came near to him, he put his arms around them and he fell upon their neck and he kissed them and he loved them. You're my brother. You're my brother. Why did you do that? How could he do that, friend, with what was done against him? Why did he display such an attitude? I'll tell you. There's one simple reason. You read the story carefully. Because on everything that happened to Joseph, he saw God. That was the secret. His relationship with God made the difference. You say, how do you say that? Let me tell you this. You know what sustained Joseph whenever he was in the prison or the pit? You know what sustained him when he was in the prison? Do you know what sustained him when he stood in Pharaoh's palace that first day? Do you remember what sustained him whenever he's in the midst of persecution? Was this fact. He saw God in everything. Even the pit. Even in the prison. He saw God everywhere in his life. And that, listen to me, that was manifested, therefore, in his conversation, in his life, his living. He lived the Lord. God, this was a godly fellow. This was a godly young man. Now, let me just show you what I mean here. Turn back to chapter Genesis 39 for a moment. And we'll just give you these verses and slip on quickly. In verse number 9, Genesis 39, verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Even there in the midst of temptation, he could see the Lord. Chapter 40 and verse number 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? This wasn't a moment. This could be Joseph's big moment of exaltation. No. He said, interpretation belonged to God. This moment was of God. Look at chapter 41. Chapter 41, verse number 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Once again, he sees God in the midst. Look at verse 25 of the same chapter. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The same chapter, 41, verse 52. And the name of the second called he, as his second son, called he Ephraim. Why? For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Chapter 42, in verse number 18. And Joseph said unto them this day, this do and live, for I fear God. Chapter 43, in verse number 29. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is not this your brother, younger brother, of whom you spake unto me? And he said, that's Joseph said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. My friend, as he looked at all his situation, as he looked at his trials, as he looked at his troubles, as he looked at everything in his life, and remember, his life wasn't easy. He wasn't looking at joy, 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 joy. He wasn't looking at trouble, 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 affliction, prison, pit, all of these things, persecution, because of his righteousness, because of his godliness. But now let me tell you, friend, he had the right attitude, because let me tell you, friend, he wasn't looking to man. Wasn't it well he wasn't? He was looking to God. That's your fact I want you to notice. From verse 5 of chapter 45 to verse number 9, you'll find that four times he mentioned God. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God that sent me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me thither, but God. Verse 9, haste you and go up to my father. Say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. Now he didn't overlook the past at the bother's plate, friend. But overriding all of their actions, he saw the providence of God in his life. Let me ask you a question. As you review your life, as you review your past, as you review this past week, friend, is your heart right with God? Is it? Are you in a close relationship with the Lord today? You say to me, but Brother McGrady, listen, you know, I had a hard week. Was God not in the midst of it? This past year has been a tough year for me. And friend, perhaps that is honestly true. But as Joseph looked upon his life, and all those 20 years were hard for him, He saw the actions of his brothers overridden and used as instruments in the hand of God. And the reason for his attitude was his relationship with God. And friend, let me tell you, if your relationship with the Lord is right, then no matter what you have to face and no matter what circumstance will come in your life, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, Joseph acknowledged, as I said, he didn't overlook the actions of his brothers. Because look at verse number 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I'm Joseph, whom ye sold. Whom ye sold into Egypt. Yes, he is acknowledging, yes, you sold me. Look at verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. So he's not trying to just excuse the evil actions of his brother. Let me tell you, my friend, their actions were wrong. And their actions were evil. And the nature of sin is not altered by the use that God makes of it. They sinned against Joseph. But God can turn the actions of wicked men around for his honor and for his glory. In the Psalm 76, in the verse number 10, it says this, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Imagine that. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. And I believe there's another reason here, not only what we have learned, but listen, I believe that God's reminding us it pays to live right. It pays to live right. Now, looking at the life of Joseph, you could say, well, listen, as you look at this godly young man living for God, surely his godly living's put him in difficult circumstances. Instead of making life easy, his godly living, it seems to be making life harder for him. And sometimes, you know, when we look at our circumstances, or we look around, for example, the psalmist. Do you remember the psalmist in Psalm 73? He said, you know, he looked around him and all he could see was the wicked men prospering. It just seemed to be that the wicked were prospering. Instead of godly people prospering, instead of them having a heyday, my, it seemed to be that the ungodly seemed to be filling his barns, and the ungodly man seemed to prosper. In actual fact, the psalmist acknowledged in Psalm 73, he had trouble with it. As he saw the prosperity of the wicked, he got angry in spirit. He got to the place where he said, what's the use? Why is it happening? Why are the ungodly prospering? He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then he said, I saw things right. Because when he went into the sanctuary of God, friend, God showed them the wicked man's end. That their end wasn't gain. Their end was an eternal loss. Oh yes, they could have a temporary gain. And my, what did that do to the ungodly man? That bolstered him up. My, that made the man in a sin bolder in his sinning. But all he was doing was preparing the net for himself. All the ungodly man's doing, friend, let me tell you, living in a sin, living in the boldness of a sin, he is preparing hell for himself. The absolute wrath of God that will be poured out upon him. But I want to say this morning. I want to encourage the people of God. Let me tell you, friend. God has already won the victory. And if you're living for God, friend, it might seem that you're having a hard time. But praise God, in the Lord you win. You've already won. Thank God we're on the victory side.
Thank God, God's work shall prevail. Thank God, righteousness shall prevail. Be encouraged, brother. Don't be discouraged.
Some folks were talking to me last night and they said, you know, it seems to be, brother, evil's on every hand. It seems to be man seems to be getting more wicked, and my man seems to be getting more bold in his actions, and sin's prevailing on every hand. And then, of course, they said, you know, of course that's to happen. You know, there's wars and rumors of wars and all of these things are happening. I said, brother, but don't stop there. Come on, don't stop there. Why did you stop at that part? Well, whenever you think of that, wouldn't that discourage you? Then get your heart cast down. Why did you stop there? I said, brother, listen, it says, and when you see these things come to pass, look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. Now, the old devil would like you to look at the world scene and get you downcast and depressed as if God had lost the pattern or lost the plot. I want to tell you, friend, when you look at the world scene, God's already told about it. He's already prophesied it in the book. It's fulfilling that which God has said. That should encourage you. God's word's true. God's word's true. Don't you be discouraged what you're seeing today. Yes, our hearts are breaking whenever we look around and we see so much sorrow and so much sin, and we see so much evil on every hand, and we see children crying and babies starving, and my, there seems to be broken bodies scattered across the globe everywhere. But then we are reminded, all these things must come to pass. But thank God we're nearer home than we were yesterday. We're headed to the morning, friend, not tonight. We're not going to die in the darkness. Thank God we're not going to die in despair. Praise God. God's in the midst of it all. And that's what I want to show you. Look at verse 7. Let's read verses 7 to 13 as we quickly move along. It says, but God sent me before you to preserve your prosperity. God has sovereignly worked, and even the wrath of man, even the evil that man sought to do. Yes, you sold me as a slave, but God took your evil instrument and God just turned it around. God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me thither. Oh yes, you thought you were. You thought you were harming me by doing this. You thought that you were getting rid of Joseph. But you didn't send me thither. But God. God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord over all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And friend, even there are times in our lives, there are times in the life of the child of God that he does not experience the nearness of the presence of the Lord. And it seems to be that the sun is blotted out by your trial or your bodily affliction or your family experience. But you remember, God's still there. God in the midst of the storm. And then what you need to do, and here's my humble advice before God, and I believe it's God's advice to you. Get your eyes fixed upon the sovereign person of God and wait for God to unfold the sovereign purpose of God. That's right. You say, brother, how long do I have to wait? Just a wait of 20 years. Oh, brother, don't tell me I'm going to wait. I don't know how long. But thank God, joy comes in the morning. I don't know how long the night will be. I don't know how long the night experience that God has purposed for you to go through. But I do know this, that God is still there. God in the midst of it all. And these were not simply the words of Joseph Wren, but these were the words of one who believed God. Now, as we finish this morning, because unfortunately time's going quickly, what was the purpose? What was the original task that Jacob gave to Joseph? Away at the beginning. Do you remember that day? 20 years. Let's go back over 20 years now. And the father called Joseph, his son, into his presence. And he gave him a mission. He gave him a task to fulfill. What was that task? Well, you find it in chapter 37. In chapter 37 and the verse number 14. And this was the task. And he said to him, as Jacob said to Joseph, go, I pray you, or pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. And the task that he was sent was the task of the welfare of his brethren. And now Joseph sees the mission of his heavenly father. And what was the mission that God has given? Look at chapter 45 and verse number 7. It says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. There was the welfare of his brethren. His heavenly father had the same mission. It was the good of others. But 20 years were in between. And his father sent him upon a mission. And now his heavenly father sends him to fulfill the mission. Let me tell you, friend. All the powers of hell this morning won't stop the fulfillment of the plan of God. That ought to rejoice your heart. That ought to thrill your soul. Joseph knows what God has revealed concerning the years of famine. Look at verse 6. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. But he said, God sent me to preserve you. God sent me for your welfare. And when my father sent me upon a mission, the devil and the powers of hell, I and you, brethren, you tried to stop me. But God overruled all your plans. And God has sent me to preserve you a posterity. That, notice Joseph didn't say, God sent me to Egypt to preserve me. No. He says, God sent me to preserve you. The father sent him on the mission. See if your brethren, see the welfare of your brethren. Child of God, let me tell you, so often we get caught up with our welfare that we're the center of this all. And as long as I'm all right, and as long as my wee family, and as long as my wee home, and my wee castle's safe, well, what about others? That was not the mission he was sent on. And that was not the mission that God sent him to Egypt for. Joseph realized the mission his father, earthly father, sent him. It was the welfare of his brethren, not himself. And let me tell you, my friend, you as a child of God, you have a heavenly mission. And God has given you a task, and God wants you to fulfill a task that he has for you. And God wants you to take his message to others. It's the welfare of others. You are not to live unto yourself. You and I are not to live unto ourselves, or the pleasure, or the pleasing, or the prosperity of ourselves. We're to live unto him
and through him we're to reach others. That's the life that God has called us to live. That's to do that, friend. Let me tell you, there's something we have to do. We have to die to self. Self has got to be put on the cross. Self has got to be put upon the altar. For we are live unto the Lord, for the glory of God, to reach others. For Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is that the kind of a heart you have this morning? Heart for others. Remember what Jesus said? Weep with those that weep, and rejoice with those that rejoice. And yet there are God's people, friend, and they know their brethren or their sisters are hurting, and yet it doesn't bother them at all. Friend, may God give us that heart that will live Christ. This godly life, let me tell you. And a godly life is something that others will not only see, but others will be blessed through us. Because I believe that God uses us as the instruments to reach others. And so verse 9 says this, and with this I close. Haste ye, and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, and tarry not. First of all, he says to his brethren, brethren, come near to me. Friend, you and I need to come near to the Lord today. If we draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto us. And then he sent his brothers on a mission. Tell Father, come down unto me. And you see, when you come to the Lord, friend, then you will have a heart. If you're in a right relationship with God, you will have a heart that will seek to go out and tell others, come. Joseph said, tell Father, come down to me. Come to me. And friend, when your heart is right with God, then that's what you'll tell the sinners in God's name. Come to Jesus. For he says, come unto me. Dear unsaved person this morning, he bids you come. You know what he says? And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. May God save you if you're not saved. Child of God, come near. Come near to our heavenly Joseph. Come near to Jesus. And thank God if you come to him afresh. Embrace the blessed Son of God and tell him this morning, Lord Jesus, I love you. For let me tell you, friend, that's what he says to you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. May God help us to love him too, for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We pray that thou will bless thy word to our hearts. Help us to be different, Lord. Oh God, take away our wrong attitudes. Take away our hard attitudes and heart. Give us that heart of love. Oh, to be like Jesus. All that I ask is to be like him. Lord, save the sinner this morning. May they hear thy word speaking to thee. Come near to me. And O God, give them grace to come. For you won't cast them out. We pray in Jesus' precious name. For Jesus' sake.